How many of you knew that I was going to be here preaching this morning? And you showed up anyway. I'm telling you, the Lord is good in spite of ourselves. But I have a need to go to the Lord in prayer right now, so if you would. Who? I ain't touching none of that. Let us pray. Father, I come to you just now thanking you for your goodness and for your mercy. Thank you for the privilege I have to stand where no man can stand alone. I ask for your help and for your guidance as I stand. I pray, Father, for Pastor Dave. It's an honor and a privilege for me to fill in for him until he's able to be back. I ask you bless the service today. Bless each one that has come out and do that which is pleasing in your eyes. Whatever you do, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you wish to follow along, I'll be in Joshua chapter 3 this morning for a few minutes. And be page 179, I think, in your pew Bibles. I don't really like giving adults page numbers, but be reading the first six verses. Verse 1 of Joshua chapter 3 says, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore or before. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people." If I was going to have a text verse, it would be verse 4. "Yet there shall be a space between you. There shall be a space between you, and it's about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way heretofore." In the Christian life, every day should be something new. If you're sitting and standing in the same place all the time, you're certainly not growing in the grace of the Lord. So there should be something new in our life all the time. A lot of preachers have used these scriptures for funeral services about going over into Cana, the other side. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I'm not going to talk about dying this morning. I'm not ready to die. I'm spiritually ready, but I'm not physically ready, and I don't think anybody else is either. But there are some that's ready sooner than others. Joshua here has taken over from Moses. And I got to reading this morning, and I actually saw it on TV on a Jewish channel about the parting of the Red Sea. And our movies make it look good where Moses is standing up there with his arms out and the sea just parts real good. But Jewish tradition has it a little bit different. Jewish tradition and the Torah has Moses running from the Egyptian soldiers. They're after them. They're pursuing them. And when he gets to the Red Sea, he doesn't stop running. He runs right into the water. Gets in it up to his ankles. Then up to his knees. Then up to his waist. And about the time it gets to his neck, where he's about to drown, God parts the water. And I kind of believe that more than I do standing up on a mountaintop. Two things with these events. One, when they went into the Red Sea, the enemy was chasing them. When they come up out of the Jordan River, they were pursuing the enemy. And I can assure you, before you got saved, the devil was pursuing you. And after you've been saved, you ought to be pursuing the enemy. We should not take a back seat to the devil. You say, well, he's not real. I can assure you he's real, because he's really been on my back since last Thursday. I was asked about preaching. He hadn't let up one iota. He's been on my back. I knew he would. I was prepared to lose my temper. I was prepared to get hot. But fortunately, I didn't get too hot. Joshua here is taken over from Moses, and the Lord was very plain with Joshua. Moses is dead. He didn't pull any punches. He didn't have to try and sweet talk it. Moses is dead. Moses died for one infraction. You think about that for a minute. One infraction. Instead of speaking to a rock, he hit it with his rod. God said, you're not going over in the promised land, Moses. So the Lord took Moses up on the hilltop, let him gaze over there, over Jordan, and see the promised land. But he wouldn't let him go. You know, it'd be terrible for people sitting here this morning to think you're saved and you're not saved. You think you're on your way to the promised land and you're not. You need to make your calling and election sure. And if you come to church just for entertainment, you're missing the point to start with. If you're coming to church just to be in church, you're missing the point. We ought to come to God's house to worship God. He's still on the throne. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What God required back in the beginning of Christianity, He still requires today. He requires for us to be faithful to Him. And many of us make mistakes during the week. I know I make mistakes during the week. I heard a preacher on TV this morning talking about taking some money that wasn't his, and how God's conviction just stayed on his back until he got rid of that problem. If you got sin in your life and you're saved, you will be convicted of that sin. And I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how far you've gotten away from God. He will draw you back because he loves you. And to love me, it takes some doing. But he does not want you to get out of fellowship with him. Here Joshua has given the charge to lead the people over Jordan. And if you know anything about the geography, this particular area, Jericho's right in that area, and it wasn't just a short space between where they crossed Jordan and they went into Jericho. And we know what happened there. And as Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. They camped there for 3 days before they went over. In other words, they had time to contemplate what they were fixing to do. It was entirely different than the Red Sea, where they were in a hurry. They could just take their leisure for 3 days. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be a little skeptical about going across the river anyway. And Jordan itself was a nasty, muddy, dirty thing. And it overflowed its banks during the harvest season, which is the time this was. So they had a wide space they had to go over. Verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. The Ark of the Covenant in this particular story is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And I'm glad that we have a God that will go in front of us when we have problems or adversaries or whatever. He's always there. He's not going to leave you, and he's not going to forsake you, but sometimes we forsake him. But it said, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. He made it personal. And in Christianity today, we all got to heaven the same way. That is through repentance from our dead works and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you all have a personal God. Now listen. Sometimes I think it takes two for me, Junior. But I have a personal God that has given me His guardian angels. And you read the scripture, you'll see you got one over here. You got one over here. And they will take care of you. They will guard you from Satan if you will let them. If you don't let them, there's not much they can do. Verse 4 says, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which you must go. For you have not passed this way heretofore or before. I've had the opportunity the last few weeks to witness to a couple of people down at Luann's store. And they all are right with God. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but understand it. You can be a Christian on Sunday and a devil on Monday. And Christians ought to be level. We ought to be the same all the time, unless we're being aggravated by Satan. And you know, I have to admit, I've got a short temper. I used to not have a temper. I used to just take everything. But I don't take everything anymore. When I feel the devil is on the attack, I'll get upset. I really will. And you may not know that I'm a Christian when I do that. Me and the Lord's had a long talk about that. But when we do it deliberately, knowing we're not saved, we're in God's house on Sunday, we feel good, we get cheered up a little bit, but we go back out into the world and live in the world just like the world lives, we're no different than they are, then you have a serious problem, because you see, God will not take that in consideration, your little Sunday visits. Now, I think most of the people here, the ones I know anyway, claim to be saved. I pray to God you are. And I've told you about when I got saved. I won't go over that again. I told you about how I quit on God and what it cost me. I won't go over that again. But I will say this, the Israelites are fixing to cross over Jordan and they're going over on dry ground, and right on the other side is the enemy. And on over in chapter 4, you see they had 40,000 soldiers prepared that went out front. They didn't need them soldiers. Chapter 13 or 4 says they had 40,000. They didn't need them soldiers because they had a personal God. But they said, come on to the ark, then you got to stay back a space. And that one stumped me for a while. I got to thinking about that. Had all the Jews come up real close to the ark and crowded around it, the ones that were way back further wouldn't be able to see it. So God in His infinite wisdom said, y'all stay back far enough where everybody can see it and have access to it. And the Lord does that. See, when we come to church, the pulpit is not to make the preacher look like he's something he's not. When Ezra had the first pulpit built of wood, it's so all the people could see the preacher that was reading the Word of God. And that's all it is today. But sometimes we just get overbearing with stuff. Anyhow, they were not to come too close to the ark, so they'd be spread out and everybody could see the ark, because the ark was the testimony of God Himself in the presence of the Jews. During wintertime, cold winter times, you go out and you try to crank your car and it won't start. Most of us get all bent out of shape, get mad, uptight. Well, if you'd have prepared it the night before, it would have started. Israelites here were going over Jordan. They were preparing themselves for 3 days. The Ark of the Covenant was out there in the middle of the river. And God was going to take care of them 100%. Now, I have a water phobia. I still take a bath every month, but I have a water phobia. And I don't like to get in any water above my knees. I just don't like deep water. And I know why, but I'm not going to elaborate on that. But these folks were going through something very new. They were going to see their God and the power that he had stop the Jordan. My understanding from reading the scriptures, he backed it up a long way. It was pretty high, but the other side kept it flowing. But they went across on dry ground. Verse 5 says, "And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." You're not going to see the wonders of God unless you sanctify yourself. Now, we do things a little different in the New Testament age than it did in the Old Testament age. But we still ought to take a bath before we come to God's house. We ought to clean ourselves up before we come to God's house. But the sanctifying here is talking about your heart. You ought to have a clean heart when you come to God's house because you don't know what God might do. And 10 minutes 12, May the 5th, said before, I come to church and didn't have a clean heart. But God changed it that day. He might change yours today. I don't know. I don't know what God's going to do with the folks here today. I don't know if he's going to do anything. But since it's God's house, I think he'll do something for somebody. And let me say this. Let me just park here for just a minute. We're sophisticated this day and time that there's a lot of dust on the old altar up here. We don't have to come up there and pray. Well, to not do it, pure laziness. And it's not showing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no doubts. Everybody here prays hard. I know you've prayed for me today and yesterday. But there's a time that you have to put a little faith on your prayers. And I'm not inviting you to come to the altar. That's between you and God. But I'll tell you this. You can sit in the pew all you want to during the invitation, if there's one given, and act like you're talking to God, and God lets us do that. We can pray anywhere, anytime, ever since the veil was ripped in twain. We don't have to come to the altar. But I know from experience, if you want anything from God, you have to show a little bit of faith in him, like Joshua was doing here, like the nation of Israel is doing here. They were fixing to go into something new they had never been in before. The old crowd had died off in the wilderness of sin. 40 years of it. And it's just a few days from being 4 years, according to the scriptures, that they were going to cross the water again. God is still God. He has not moved. He will not move for you or for me unless it's for his glory. But we're living in a time where God is being pushed out of our churches, being pushed out of our governments, being pushed out of our schools, and in many places being pushed out of our homes. He's not important anymore. Well, I can assure you without any doubt, there's going to be some Jordans in your life one day, and you're going to need somebody to help you part the way. You're going to need somebody to help you move it out of the way. And if you haven't sanctified yourself, if you're not serving God with everything that you got, you may not have help when that time comes. And I can assure you, it's going to come. Every one of us is going to have a Jordan. Now, if I go to town and it comes a big river coming my way, I'm going to remember what I said and I'm going to run. But Jordan, just being in typology, we have problems in our lives. We have things that come up in our lives that upset us, that disturb us, that destroys our routines. And if you don't have somebody on your side, it's hard to take. You try to take things by yourself a lot of times, and you'll be like Ezekiel. You get in the water up to your ankles, and it feels not too bad. I can handle that. Then you go a little further with Ezekiel and you get in the water up to your knees. Well, you can still handle that. But when it gets above the knees, and it starts getting up around your waist, and finally you go plumb under the water, you're going to need some help. All the New Testament teaches us is the grace of God, the shedding of Christ's blood, and the fact that you can be forgiven of your sins. So there's no excuse for any of God's people going through a hard time in their life and not call on God to help them. Now, Pastor Dave just came to mind. I called him Job the other day. He's going through a heartache. He's going through a lot of stuff. But I have full confidence the Lord's going to bring him out on the other side. I believe that and assures my name's what it is. And I told you, it's a privilege for me to stand in Him, in for Him today. But there's coming times in your life and in my life where we need somebody that we can talk to or somebody we can pray to because we're in dire straits. The devil is out to destroy the young people of this church. I think he's already got most of the old guys. But he is out to destroy the young people in this church. I've seen it myself in this church. We need to guard the young people. I've been where they're at. They haven't been where I'm at. And there's so much more out there to lure them away from God, to get them out from God's house. We need to pray for the young people. Seriously. Anyhow, that's a new thing, something you hadn't ever experienced before. Joshua said in verse 6, "And Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people." Somebody needs to carry the word to the lost. It's commanded of us to do that. You're commanded to witness to the lost. Now, I'm not going to ask you. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I don't want to know how many of you have. I know some of you have talked to somebody about Christ this week. But I'm not going to ask you. But if you don't do it, you're sinning against the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are born again, if you've been saved by the grace of God, think about that gift. Think about what God gave you freely at no cost to you. And you want to keep it to yourself? You don't want to share it with the world? If you don't, you've been saved too long and you've been eating too many ice cubes. We get cold on God. We get indifferent on God. And we just lose our joy. Now, I don't mind people judging me when I'm up here, and they do. There's a lot of perhaps ideas going on about old Larry. Well, I don't like him. That's all right, too. I like him. That's okay, too. He's handsome. No, we don't want to go that far. Alan, quit shaking your head over there. We're all God's people if you're saved. Now, I want you to think about this just for a minute. The same God that parted Jordan with His awesome power is the same God that you have access to. I repeat, He's the same God that you have access to if you're saved. If you're not saved, there ain't but one prayer that He'll hear from you, and that's the prayer of repentance. But if you're saved, God will hear you. When you pray, He may not give you anything. He answers prayer in three ways. Not now, maybe, or no. He doesn't always give you everything that you want. But they were fixing to cross over this body of water on dry ground because this awesome God, this awesome covenant that God had made with the nation of Israel was going to do all the work. verse 7 said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Let me tell you something. Israel was fearful of Moses because of his relationship to God the Father. I can't even imagine. That don't even compute in my mind how God would come down and talk face to face with Moses. But he did. Then he's telling Joshua, as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I'll talk to you. I would have a heart attack and die if God spoke audibly to me. He's not going to speak audibly to me because I got everything I need right here. If I read it and study it, I'll know everything that God wants me to know about Him. I'll know how to live my life. Even the part in here where it says, spare the rod and spoil the child. Well, society don't want you to spoil the child. They want you to give them time out. That's contrary to the Word of God. And we see what we have out in the world today. Verse 8, "And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan." Not walk way out in it. When you come to the edge of it, just get your toes wet. Step in it. Sometimes we just have to make an effort and God handle the rest of it. But some of us are a little lazy. We don't make efforts. Now, I know some of you probably an effort to get to God's house today. I fully understand that, and the Lord understands that. Some of you probably sick today. I understand that. But God hadn't ever failed you. He hadn't ever failed me. Verse 9, "And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God." Personal God. Now, God didn't speak to the nation of Israel. But he was with Joshua as he was with Moses. Verse 10 says, "And Joshua said, Hereby shall ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites." These were all people that were in the promised land already. Now listen, God's going to take their land away from them. And they're going to give it to the nation of Israel. But it's not going to come without some kind of struggle. So the Lord's going to take care of the struggle. Now listen, God did all this for the nation of Israel. He gave them all this free land to raise crops on. He gave them a law to guide their personal lives in. And he gave them a Lord to be over them when they wanted something done. And what did they do? They destroyed the land. They forbid to obey the law. And they shunned the Lord himself. They were just a few miles from where they crossed Jordan and came up out on dry ground with Jericho. And the Lord defeated them at Jericho. And let the Israelites have victory over it. And it wasn't but just a short time there was sin in the camp. Sin in the camp because some of the Jews did something God said don't do. When God says don't do it, you better believe that's what God means. Don't do it. When he says do it, that's exactly what he means. Do it. Do it. I think it's 36 men lost their lives because they were disobedient in Jericho. What was his name? Achan. Yep. The sin of Achan. Achan took something that was to be dedicated to God. He took it home and buried it in his tent. You think God didn't know that? It ended up by God's search and found out who was guilty. Him, his wife, his children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren, his brothers, his sisters, all of them were stoned to death by God because they were disobedient to what God said. The whole clan wiped out. One thing. I'm glad that we are able to come to the Lord Jesus Christ with multiple things. I'm glad we don't have to let one thing build and build and build until we get in trouble. You may commit a small sin, you ought to confess it. You may commit multiple sins, you ought to confess it. God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess them. Most of us don't even think about confessing our sins. We don't think we have any sin. This body here, as handsome as it may be. Some ladies laugh. I know better than that. It's sin. This body is not going to the promised land. This body is going back to the dust of the ground, the same as yours. Why? Because there was a curse put on it back in the Garden of Eden. When I die, I'm going to rot. Pardon the expression. Even if the Lord comes back for me when he raptures the church, my body is still not going nowhere. It's going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and I don't know what I'm going to be. I'll probably be better looking than I am now, Jack. I keep saying that because I know the truth about me, all right? Verse 12, and therefore take ye 12 men out of the tribe of Israel, out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the sole of the feet of the priest that bared the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand up in a heap. When they stepped into the brink of Jordan, the waters backed up behind them, and it just kept getting higher and higher. In other words, all the water coming down didn't just stop. It just stopped where they were at. And the waters kept building up and building up. And if you have a water phobia, and I'm sure some of them did, they had to exercise a little bit of faith to step out in the Jordan and go across. But I also think they knew that God's ark was in the center of it. God's ark was in the river. And God is God, and there's no power on earth that can hurt God. If he's out there, surely we can go. If God is leading you, if God is in your life, he's out front of you taking care of your enemies, why in the world do we not get busy for him? There's going to be a lot of answers going on when we all get to be in the presence of the Lord. Your works will be gold, silver, precious stone, or wood, hay, and stubble. The wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn up. That's for those that never do anything. I like the looks and feel of gold. It just feels good. It feels different than any other metal. And I like rocks. And I got quite a bit of silver. That ain't got nothing to do with my rewards. But I'm telling you, it's better than firewood for the stove. And you're only going to get those rewards by working for the Lord. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not under the law. I don't have to work for my salvation. I work because I am saved. The waters have gone back. They've gone over and time's getting close. But I ain't done yet. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zarethan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plains, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over against Jericho. Listen, God parted the Jordan River so they can get over in the promised land. And the first thing they run into in the promised land was the enemy. Jericho. And Jericho had already had the answer. They had already been told how God parted the Red Sea. And some of them, listen, they were shaking in their boots when they saw that God parted the Jordan. What would you do? It kind of worried me a little bit. But I saw the waters parting. And if y'all see that today, you be sure and let me know. God parted the Red Sea for the nation of Israel when they were fleeing from the enemies of Egypt. God parted the Jordan River when they were going into the promised land to receive their rewards. But God was prepared in both cases. They didn't catch God off guard. God had a cloud by day and fire by night to guide the Israelites. And they still, to this day, continually to fail God. Now listen, if God's chosen people do that, how about the rest of us? Do we fail God? I'm sure we do. I know I do. I can't speak for you, but I know I fail God. I haven't gotten to the good part yet, but I don't think I'll make it this morning. What I want you to know, God will work some new things in your life if you'll let Him. Ron told me I was about too old to preach and I'll be put out to pasture. I told him I'd be fine, but I'm not pasteurized yet. I'm working on it. 68 tomorrow. 18 years older than I thought I would ever be. God did it, not me. Most of you are younger than I am. Even if you look older, you're younger. 8 has nothing to do with service. A lot of you is older than some of the young folks want to sit back and let the young folks do everything. You shouldn't do that. If you're able to do for the Lord in this church, and Junior may shoot me, he may be get bombarded with volunteers. I didn't think it would, but I just thought I'd throw that out. Working in the local church is a work for the Lord. But our main work for the Lord is telling the lost about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we fail. It's amazing to me how shy some people get when they're talking to the lost people. They just let the devil run all over them. Here in the Jordan, God was there with them. God's ark was right there in the middle of the river, keeping it separated, and God is not afraid of anybody, and if you have Him in here, why are you afraid and concerned of the devil and his bunch? Maybe you don't understand who the devil is. I hate to say it, it's your wife, Ron. Or it's Ron. Or it's me. The devil can get a hold of me and I'll do things that I shouldn't do. But I'll tell you this, he may make me do things I shouldn't do, but he can't have my soul because it's been bought and paid for. My soul was paid for on Calvary by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I know he didn't have me on his mind when he died, but I honestly believe my sins were there. And God being an all-knowing God, He knew when I would get saved. He knew when I would bow on my face before God. And if you could get a close glimpse of God, you'd probably get down on your face in front of Him too. He is God. He doesn't change. He doesn't move. And He does not back up. And neither should we. Some of you may not be here this time next year. I may not be here this time next year. We're all going to leave here one day. And it's going to be something new in our life. If you're born again, it's not a problem. If you're not born again, Matthew chapter 7, I think it is, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. It's not I knew you and then I lost you. I never knew you. You think about that for just a second. Never. Never to be known, Jack, of God. That's terrible. But there's no reason this morning why you can't be known. If you're lost this morning, you've never been saved, never been born again, you can be this morning. If the Lord deals with you, when we give the invitation, you just come right on up and some of these men show you how to be saved. I don't want you to come up here because you know me. I'm not going to save you. The Lord will save you. You exercise a little bit of faith in God, He will show you mighty new things in your life. And I know most everybody sitting here, you could answer yes to this one. You remember when you first got saved? You remember how good it felt? You remember how free you was in your heart? You remember how excited you was over worshiping and serving God? And somewhere along the line, you got cold as an ice cube. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. Of all the people on the planet of this world, Christians ought to have a smile on their face most of the time, and I don't. They ought to have joy in their heart. They ought to have a little dance step in their feet. You ought to be happy. You ought to be encouraged because you are the children of the living God. If you're not, you need to get that way. Our hymn of invitation is page 371. Have thine own way, Lord. Let's stand as we sing.